Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Miketz, we have four fairly short and hopefully meaningful and sweet Divrei Torah. This is the Parsha that deals with the dreams of Paro and eventually leading to the famine throughout the land and Yaakov's children coming down without Binyamin, but all of them other than Binyamin and Yosef is already in Mitzrayim, coming down to buy food from the viceroy of Mitzrayim, who is none other than Yosef. So when it comes to the dreams towards the beginning of the Parsha, we are in Perek Mem Aleph, Psukim Gimel and Dalet. It says that right before this, that the seven healthy cows were there, and then thereafter were quickly followed by the seven weak, sickly cows. And the Pasuk says as follows, V'nei sheva poros acheros olos acharein. After the seven healthy ones come the six shvach ones, and v'tamodna etzel haparos, and they stood by them. And eventually, in the next Pasuk, it says, v'tochalna haparot, and they absorbed them. The weak ones ate the healthy ones, and you could not even tell because the sickly ones were still very skinny and sickly. And the Sfas Emes focuses on three interesting words here. He says that the process, and we're going to focus on a three-stage process, the seven parot acherot olos acharein, they just came up. Sounds very casual, so they came up, and then v'ta'amodna etzel haparos, they stood next to them, and thereafterwards, the weak ones, v'ta'ochalna, that's something that's more significant, they ate them. So those are the three different verbs that we're going to be talking about, olos, that they came up, v'ta'amodna, then they became more situated, they stood by them, and thereafterward, they ate them. And in fact, this is a remez. This is a hint to a chazal. There's a gemara in Sukkah that says that the Yetzer Hara starts slowly. It's actually a number of chazals that say this concept, but the one that we'll focus on goes as follows, that initially, it's based on a pasuk in Shmuel, the Yetzer Hara looks to us like a traveler, just passing by, not even visiting and staying around for a while, just traveling by and going on his own path. That is level number one of the Yetzer Hara, a quick visit, and then he goes on. And thereafterward, it's a guest. The Yetzer Hara is an oreach, a guest that stays by us, not permanently, but certainly more than that traveler in the first stage. And thereafterward, that Yetzer Hara makes himself so at home that, in fact, the Yetzer Hara becomes the Baal HaBayis in control of everything, and we are no longer the Baal HaBayis. So those are the three stages of the Yetzer Hara, and it is incremental, just a quick visit. Then I'm here to visit, more permanently I'm a guest, and thereafter the Baal HaBayis. And in fact, these three stages that we have in our psukim of the shvach, of the weak cows, that represents the three stages of the Yetzer Hara. They are effectively the koach of the Yetzer Hara. They represent the Yetzer Hara because they are taking over what would otherwise be healthy. And initially it says they were just olos. They came up a quick visit, little by little, but nothing permanent, not even sticking around for a while. Just a quick passing through, just like a traveler. That is level number one. They came up, that was it. Nothing significant, number permanent. And thereafterward, v'ta'amodna, they stood by the healthy ones. Now they are making themselves more permanent. They're making themselves more comfortable. We're going to stick around as a guest for a little while. And thereafterward, stage number three, they ate, they absorbed, they swallowed the health, anything that was good there that Yetzer Hara has not destroyed. And in fact, Chazal tells us in a number of places that the Yetzer Hara, actually the Chinuch has a beautiful write-up on this, on the Yisro Lo Sikruvu Legalos Erva, that the Yetzer Hara is initially even imperceptible to us because it starts so slow and weak, and we totally underestimate the abilities of the Yetzer Hara, and then it grows stronger and stronger to the extent that then it's too late, we can no longer control it. Another analogy that Chazal say is that initially the Yetzer Hara looks to us like a spider web, very weak, has no strength, and thereafterward, truth be told, now it's a rope. It is impossible to get through. It's impossible to control that Yetzer Hara over time. And that is what is reflected in our pasuk. When we have something healthy, be it our midos or our learning or whatever it may be, and the Yetzer Hara gets to work on it, it's a slow process that we have to perceive and we have to act on quickly before it goes from being a quick traveler, passing through to a guest that's stopping over to becoming the Baal HaBayis. And therefore, it requires that we act quickly and effectively when the Yetzer Hara process starts going on us. We are now moving forward to number two. We are in Perek Mem Aleph, Perek Chaf Dalet. Paro is recanting his dreams. He's to Yosef. He's repeating his dreams. And it's interesting, in Pasuk Ches, before our Pasuk, when Paro initially had his dreams, he says there was no one there that ain't poter. There was none of his magicians who were able to solve his dreams. But in our Pasuk, it doesn't say that. It says, Va'amar l'chartumim, he's recanting now his dreams, the Paro's to Yosef, and he's telling as follows, in all of my chartumim, nobody is telling me how they have solved my dreams. In other words, the implication is they do have their explanations of the dreams that I'm having, but no one is telling it to me. So why is that? Why is this different language? So what's going on with the Chartumim here? So in fact, Chazal tell us that the magicians of Paro, they did have their explanations, their solutions as to what the dreams meant. And for example, some of them were saying, you're going to have seven daughters and they are all going to pass away. Where some were saying that the seven cows, etc., represents not the seven daughters, but seven countries that will revolt and rebel against you. And none of them wanted to tell Paro their explanations of the dream because they were concerned that he would get very upset at the negative news that they would be telling him. So they did not have very much effectiveness in leadership, in their self-confidence in who they were, and they frankly were just were remiss on the job. They were supposed to be doing their jobs and they were not doing it. So accordingly, that is the language that Paro says, Ve'ein Magidli. This is what the Kli Yakar explains. Ein ish me magidli at hapitaron. None of them are telling me their explanations of their dreams. They're just whispering between themselves, keeping it to themselves because they do not have the ability to stand up and to have explain. They just don't have the self-confidence and ability. And that is why I am turning to Yosef, who's going to have more confidence in his ability to explain the dream to me. Obviously, when we have convictions, we have to be able to not hide them. And obviously, we have to bring them out in a positive, healthy way. But if we have convictions or concerns, ways we can help, they should not be hid under the covers, as the Chartumim did. We are now moving forward to number three, Dvar Torah number three. We're next, Perek Membeis, Pasuk Vav, Yosef Hu HaShalit Al HaAretz. Yosef was the second in charge. He was the viceroy. V'Hu HaMashbir, he was the provider, the Kol HaMaretz, for everyone. If you wanted food, Yosef was your destination. Yosef was the address. Now, what's interesting here is effectively Yosef was the general manager. He is the CEO of, or at least the president of the company. It could be that Paro was the CEO. Maybe Paro was more the chairman of the board, and Yosef was the CEO and the president. He was running everything. And typically, you delegate responsibilities, especially operational issues like selling the goods, selling the grain, selling the food. Who would want to do that himself? You just have somebody delegate that to somebody of responsibility or a number of people. And here we would have thought that with all of Yosef's responsibility over Egypt and all of the lands that Egypt was in control of, he would have divided those responsibilities, outsourced it to somebody else. You have a lot of underlings working for you. But Yosef, when it came to the task of being the provider of the food to others, he did not give that responsibility to anyone, but he kept it himself. He himself is the mashbir. He himself is the shalit. He was the viceroy. He was the provider of the food. And he, in fact, what his motive was as follows. He knew that this is a position that if you give it to somebody else, there was prone to be a lot of dishonesty, unethical behavior, people giving bribes to that person who was selling the food, people using their connections and their protexia and smearing the person and giving under the table, and the person keeping some of the funds to himself. So he didn't want that to happen. He saw, Ezuhu Chacham Haroes Anolad, you see that this is a position that is going to be full of dishonesty. I'm going to keep this for myself and make sure that it is proper, clean, and honest, fully ethical in front of other people. I want to be an example to other people twofold. Number one, the honesty, the ethics necessary. And number two, when it comes to Rachmanus, when it comes to showing mercy and caring for people when they have these needs, They need food. They need to eat. We're talking about starvation. That is something that takes a Rahman. And the message was sometimes when you see that there's a task that needs to be done right and you don't have the right person, do it yourself and ensure that it is done properly. In fact, there are midrashim that bring that during this time of the ra'av, during the hunger, the famine in the land, Yosef, in fact, did not eat at all until after the work hours. He waited until night. He was sure to take care of everyone that came to him who was needy, who needed food. They came first, and Yosef only after that at night would he sit down and tend to his own eating needs. So that was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik. Ethical, honest, and Rachmanis. He was a real merciful person who wanted to make sure that everyone was taken care of. We are now moving forward to a Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is our fourth and last of our Torah. And Yaakov Avinu eventually relents. He did not want to send the brothers back. They came back. They said, Yaakov Avinu, our dear father, the man down there, the viceroy, they didn't know it was Yosef. He said, we are not invited back unless we bring our youngest brother, Binyamin, with us. Yaakov didn't want to send him. There's no way I'm going to risk Binyamin. I lost Yosef. I'm not going to risk Binyamin as well. So he refused and he delayed until the brother said, we have no food. We really need to go. And eventually Yaakov Avinu relented and agreed to send the brothers back, including Binyamin. And the pasuk says as follows, Ve'es achichem kachu. The pasuk says, okay, take your brother, finally, take Binyamin. V'kumu shuvu aleis, and get up and go back to the man, talking about Yosef. But I saw a nice Dvar Torah on this. It's talking about Al-Pidrush, something else. He's saying as follows, Yaakov Avinu knew that there was a lot of unfortunate negative relationships between the brothers. In particular, the most evident was the brothers and Yosef. And now we're going to be in a similar situation, sending Binyamin together with the brothers, Binyamin being the brother, the full brother of Yosef. And he's concerned here that the lack, that brotherhood and caring that was indeed necessary. And I'm sending you, says Yaakov Avinu, I'm sending you back. And this is what you have to be absolutely careful about. As achichem, when it comes to achva, here achichem, Al-Pidrush is talking about how you interact with brotherhood and caring for siblings. So, as achichem, the achva, take your achva, your love, your brotherhood, and go. Take it with you, get along, kumu, go, v'shuvu, and do tshuva, shuvu, do tshuva. Because that's what you were lacking. And that was what caused all the problems with Yosef. Do tshuva, do repentance, and go to the Ish. The Ish here is talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what you have to do is you have to leave behind the chait that you did. You left behind. Your failing was not having brotherhood, not having achva. Your tshuva is going to be to have achva together. And this is going to be your tshuva, going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the achva, and only with that achva, with the brotherhood and caring for each other, will you be successful in this task. So once again, Ves achichem kachu v'kumu shuva la'ish. Pashto says, take Binyamin, I'm giving in. Take him and go back to Yosef. But the drasha is, take your achva, take your brotherhood, and go do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will be the necessary ingredient for you to be successful in your interactions when you go down to Mitzrayim. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Shabbos.